Hi there. Gay is not sin. And Jesus is asking the gay person to be changed and be straight. I know a lot of you really think that gay is sin. Trouble is, I always kind of wonder, you know, it's always kind of amazing how that, you know, I talk to so many of you. It's like just so many of you that it's pretty amazing. Trying to figure out, you know, how come you don't want to explain things to me? Love hearing from you. Really exciting. You know, I like to get all the phone calls. You see the phone number up there. I like to hear your comments. You know, like to get your emails. Like to get letters in my post office box. Really exciting. But you know what's that's really strange? Here we are supposed to be Christians and everything. We believe the Word of God. But we just, when it comes to the gay issue, just don't seem to care about explaining some things. It's an assumption on your part. You know, we live in a world that's real. You got facts. There's truth out there. There's things you cannot deny at all. You know, we know things today. History has gone by. There's things in the past. We can study so much. We can go back thousands of years. Written history has been around for quite a while. So tell me, why can't you explain things to a gay person when you say gay is sin? Or when you say God hates the gay person, or God loves the gay person and hates the sin, or you love the gay person but hate the sin. It's so simple. It's so clear. These are what I hear from you. Or you will put a verse up. You put a book name and then a verse number up, or chapter and verse. Sometimes you will quote a verse. Sometimes you just say, go read such a verse. The thing that you never, ever, ever, ever do, I've talked to 700,000 of you, so I know what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter how much college you have. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter how long many times you read the Bible. Or how many degrees you have. You still do not explain how you manage to get the word gay in the Bible out of the words that you are using. There are 13 verses in the entire Bible that you can use that has something to do with male-to-male sex in some form or another. So it shouldn't be too hard. You can look up these 13 verses. And then when you go to a gay person, you can explain how you got gay out of the verse. You're conditioned from birth. Your pastor tells you. Any kind of material you would read, you go to a Christian bookstore and you get out a book on homosexuality, and it will quote these verses. So you got these verses pretty good down. You know, you got, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed for homosexuality. You say Romans 1:26-27, and you say, look at that, how terrible the gays are. And then you go to 1 Corinthians 6:9, and oh boy, you use Leviticus chapter 18 and chapter 20. Those couple of their verses in each one of them. But yet, that's as far as you go. If you're going to use Sodom and Gomorrah, your idea seems to be that if it's a male and a male, then it is absolutely guaranteed 100% gays that represent all the gay people in the world. But that's not what the Bible is talking about. The Bible in many, many, many places describes the sexual immorality of heterosexuals, adultery, prostitution, abuse, rape, on and on, multiple sexual partners, and so on and so forth, run rampant in the Bible. But in my 58 years, there's no conditioning. There's no teaching in church. There's nothing that says heterosexuality is sin. If you're heterosexual, you're living in sin. Because you know so easily that if you're dating somebody, you're engaged to somebody, and you get married to somebody, this is just perfectly heterosexual normal. And then when you talk about prostitution or rape, you just say, these are just sick people. Has nothing to do with heterosexuality. Heterosexuality, after all, is boy meets girl. They date. They fall in love. They get married. And you don't have a problem. It's just automatically understood by you. How come you don't seem to grasp this idea about gays? How come when you look at gang rape, how come when you look at orgies for ritual purposes to sex to fertility gods, how come you look at heterosexual men, guaranteed, absolute, you do your study, you do your homework, these are Hebrew men that the Bible's talking about, and they're going to these temple prostitutes in these fertility temples, and they're having sex with them, hoping to get blessings that they hear about, that these temples have in their doctrines and their belief system, that if you have this kind of ritual sex, you're going to get blessings for your family and so forth. And these are heterosexuals. They are not gay people. And these male temple prostitutes dressed up like women. Now, I can't for the life of me understand how come it is so hard for you to understand that prostitution is not how you define all the gays in the world. Can you explain it to me? How that all the gays in the world are sinners because they are gay and may practice it, because you know, if you're straight, aren't you practicing it? Aren't you actively looking for a date? If you're married, aren't you actively doing all the things that married folk do? A gay person is boy meets boy or girl meets girl. They date. They fall in love, and they get married. Doesn't matter if you have your own idea what is the definition of married. It's the same thing. Because you want it to have a state license, and you want it to be done by a pastor or something, does not make it anything less of what is taking place when two people move in together and have their family like you do as a straight person. Doesn't matter what you want to think. You can wish things all you want. What you need to understand is if you're going to use the Bible to give them gay people, you need to produce the Bible. And you need to explain the words. If you see words in English, you cannot assume whatever meaning you want to have on a word in the Bible. The words in the Bible has meaning. They come from the original Greek. They come from the original Hebrew. They don't come from modern Greek. They don't come from modern Hebrew. 2,000 years ago, you had Greek and Hebrew. Back in Moses' day, you had Hebrew. This is the Hebrew definitions that you must adhere to when you are explaining the Bible. Evolution of words is not biblical. Did you hear me? Because one word evolved to have many different meanings as time went on, as the thousands of years go on, you cannot then say the meanings that you have on certain words is from God. Because it is a word that's in the Bible. It's just that now, thousands of years later, we added, you know, this is one meaning, two meaning, three meaning. Now we've added four, five, and six meanings to the word. No, it doesn't work like that, people. And yet today, the way that you look at a gay person is you look at gang rape and you call that gay people. You call that the practicing gays. Gang rape is not a gay behavior. A gay behavior is boy meets boy. They fall in love. They date. Well, first they boy meets boy, they date, they fall in love, they get married. When you look into the Bible and you find a male that met another male and they began to date and they fell in love and they got married, then you could come up and condemn gay people if that piece of verse is talking about that it's sin. But you can't do that. You don't know how to look for verses like that, because the verses like that in the Bible are very, very positive towards gay people. Jesus himself used a phrase that means what real gay people are. Real gay people are not attracted to women if they're a male. Real gay people are fully functional if they fell in love or whatever they did, whatever you know you do. If you're straight, you can have babies. If they did this kind of stuff, they would have babies because they're fully functional. This is the biblical words for gay in the day of Jesus that Jesus spoke. You can wish all you want of what you wish it to mean, but you got tens of thousands of ancient documents that tells you that you're wrong. Tens of thousands of documents that explains that a certain word, a certain phrase is talking about a male that is perfectly functional, can have sex, but doesn't like women for that purpose. But instead, like men. And this women and men has plural to it. This is not what it's meaning, people. Because think of yourself. When you say, I like women, does that mean you go out and have many, many women? Well, of course you do, because you would go back in your past and we could see how many women you had, guys. And vice versa, women, you had all these kind of number of guys. Not too many of you just had one. But that's not what we mean when we're plural. We're talking about that you're looking for Mr. or Mrs. Right so you can marry them. So in that concept, all your life, you're looking for the person you're going to marry. And along the way, in your dating, you do date a number of people because this is fact. And you're a Christian, and you're still doing it. And you have sex on 69%. Having sex on the first date. Do you know this? That Christians that you know you had to have the interview with hey, you know, I'm a Christian, so it's okay. Let me ask you some questions, Christian. When did you get saved? What was the process of you getting saved? What do you believe? And all there was quite a big effort to qualify this thing when that person stated, I'm a Christian. Now the study is pretty thorough. And Christians generally have sex on the first date, which means that somebody invited them out to dinner. Hey, will you come out to dinner with me? And then that evening end up, hey, come over to my house. And you had sex. You might have continued dating. Maybe later on you got married even. But most of the time you may date for a while, and you find out, you know, don't like this person, don't like that, not compatible. All this, you break up. Then you meet somebody else. Hey, you know, go out to dinner. You got your way of doing things. And after several, whatever you do, drive around, do this, go take a movie in, whatever, however you do it, walk in the mall. Hey, come over to my house. And you have sex on the first day. Now, this is the statistic that says, in a really good, thorough search of Christians, 69% of you, every time you go on a first date, you have sex. Some of you, you know, don't, you know. Some of you just simply ate a few times before you do that. Some of you just will just boast and scream and holler, boy, I have some people that come talk to me and say, I've never had anybody. I just married the first person I saw. You know, not too many people are like you. You're not a good witness to the human race on sexual matters when you married the first girl or guy you met in high school. And you know, you should know very good and well, all your peers weren't doing the thing that you were doing. All your peers didn't get the first person and marry them. So you can't use yourself as an example and say this is the way it should be, as much as you want to boast about that, because you boast, you do. If you're going to condemn a gay person, then you need to use the Bible. In Leviticus, it says, man shall not lie with mankind like man lies with womankind. So we have one of these words that has certain specific meanings. But in English, we have only one word. So every time translators translate this over to English, what do? They translate it man. This means if you're going to condemn 630 million people to hell, unless they change and be straight, or they abstain the rest of their life, then you need to understand what the Bible says so that you can condemn them rightfully. That you can judge them to death correctly. Because that's what you are doing. So you must study the Bible. And you would find this word man in the Hebrew means a lot more than our little English words. To make our English word M-A-N mean what the one Hebrew word means, we need to add several words to the word man. In this case, it is practicing heterosexual man. I mean, all encompassed in that three-letter word in English is the Hebrew word that meaning a practicing. That means somebody that is enjoying or has enjoyed sex with women. Those of you that call yourself straight or heterosexual, you are a heterosexual. When we add the word practicing heterosexual, that means you are actually engaging in sexual activity with the opposite sex. And most of you, a lot of you do that. So you're a practicing heterosexual. You love to say, oh, you could be gay, but you can't be a practicing gay person. As though we need practice for sex. Do you need practice? But, you know, we just like the word. Sounds pretty good to say when you guys are already experts in sex. But still, we would call it practicing heterosexual. And this is what the word means in Leviticus. That first word, man, means practicing heterosexual. How can you have a gay person if this person is a practicing? Now, there's more to it than that, because this man is specifically a Hebrew man. And it was during the specific time that God was taking them out of Egypt and leading them to the promised land. So here they are, 40 years period of time, walking to the promised land, following the pillar of smoke and the pillar of fire, listening to Moses rant and rave, this and that law and the other law. And then once in a while, go up the mountain, so forth, so on. We know the story. We read it. 40 years walking out there, passing all kinds of things. You know, we read the story. Here's the we had to fight the Moabites. Here's the Hittites. And there's the and so forth and so on. Well, don't you know that there is also fertility temples? Not only in the Bible mention gods and goddesses by name, You can read the history of it. You can go to the archives, the libraries, archaeological record, and you can read details. You can even get down to where you have the list of the prostitutes in these temples and the money they make and the percentage they give to the temple and the percentage they keep for their own thing. They got food and place to live. And the clothing they wear, because a lot of them dressed up like women, because when straight men go to male prostitutes, it's kind of difficult, and so a lot of these dressed up like females. And there were the female prostitutes in these temples. But the Hebrew men always heard, you know, it's more, the male is much more sacred. The opportunity for the blessing from the god or goddess are much higher. And also there were the orgies. People. You can't make a heterosexual man that decides that he's going to go to a fertility temple and have sex because he's thinking he's going to get blessings so he can go back and his crops will grow faster and he'll have more kids and so forth and so on. You can't go playing around with the Bible and decide that because it sounds like a man and a man to you, you could condemn 630 million gay people today. When it wasn't talking about gay people. But boy, most of you use Leviticus to condemn gay people. The other man, there's another word there, and that's an abomination. And how you love to use this word to condemn gays. Every single form of this word used in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, every last word of abomination, it has several, maybe five, maybe six kinds of meanings in the Bible. But all of them mean particular acts. You're actually doing something to worship another god. You know, like these male temple prostitutes and these straight Hebrew men that go to them, the reason that they are having the sex is because this is a ritual to the god or goddess. There's one word, abomination, that has a standard kind of meaning. It could be just something disgusting. Only one form of the word is found in the Old Testament. But it's interesting. You read the sentence that this word is in, and it is a sentence that is saying that if you are eating food that has been consecrated to other gods, it's an abomination. So even the only word that we might be able to call a secular word is used to say it is a disgusting thing to do, just ordinary disgusting. All the other ones mean it's disgusting because God hates it. God personally hates it because it is something done worshiping other gods. I bet you're still going to sit there and say, oh, but it's still man lies with mine. See, that's what the Bible said. What else do I do? I can't possibly go, sir. Then you can't possibly condemn 630 million people to hell. If you're not going to go search the Word of God so that you will know what you're saying, then you better not be condemning that many people because something's going to happen to you because you are abusively using the Word of God, condemning so many innocent people. And you don't think it's going to come back one day? God set a time. If you don't know Jesus, turn to Him and say, Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. And that God rose You on the third day. Forgive me of my sins and come to my life. A simple prayer gets you saved. Now read the King James Version of the Bible. If you read a modern translation, you are being conditioned to accept Antichrist because modern translations take the Christ out of Jesus. Look up Westcott and Holt, and you will see what I mean. See you next week.